V&A, this is your first off-season episode, right?
It is.
Oh, baby's first off-season.
Oh.
Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. In the year of our Lord, 2025, I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
Happy New Year. I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or for watching this for free on Wednesday, because we're going to start doing these things for giving out to the people.
No more Tep and Step Fridays during the off season.
No, we're going to be like monthly. If you know,
this is your first season with Tep and Step.
If this is your first season with Tep and Step. We go monthly during the off season, and we will be kind of rotating with all the other shows throughout the Wednesday noon time slot. And so, whenever you're watching this on Wednesday, is the Wednesday that we have been deigned to have the be Tep and Step wins.
But if you're a subscriber, you'll get it a little early.
You're getting the audio version too, which is exclusive.
Yeah.
It's an exclusive. Speaking of exclusive, our exclusive producer.
The V&A, most exclusive producer.
V&A Moreno. Hi, Vams. What's
Hello.
Up?
How are you?
Good.
How you doing?
How are you guys?
Great.
It's good to see you. It's been a while since I've seen you.
I honestly thought it was going to be a lot longer for us to come back to Tep and Step in the off season, but it's January and we are here.
Did you miss us?
Yeah.
Of course I did.
Yeah.
She lied.
Yeah. She's our producer, not WTF.
This is your January preview. Not preview. January off season edition of Tep and Step.
Mm-hmm.
Dump it's and chase.
Yeah, it's the off-season.
We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a little bit, we're going to do a whip around of the coaching changes around the state of Texas, including ground zero of coaching changes is Central Texas.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about that. Wouldn't you agree? I think there's an argument to be made that the biggest big school job and the biggest small school job have both come open in Central Texas.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
We'll argue.
Coaching change season. High level coaching changes. We're on a record pace. We're already at nearly 100 coaching changes on January 21st. It's crazy.
And then we're going to hand out the Teppies and the Steppies. It's our postseason awards.
The first annual
Tep and Step Awards. Did my mic just go down?
Oh.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
You got me? V?
Speak. Keep speaking.
Testing. You want to play with that? There we go. Okay,
yay.
Good. There you go.
Yay.
So we'll hand out the Teppies and the Steppies, our Tep and Step Awards, for the 2024 Texas high school football season. Some awards that you can probably guess.
Sure.
Others, a little more fun.
Okay.
We'll see what those have. But first, Matthew, we will start, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week presented by Community Coffee.
What a day for a Community Coffee today.
Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com.
The pause is a little
big sip.
Yeah.
Big sip. Well, it's the offseason. Yeah. We got stuff
off
to
season.
Do.
Yeah. Just, we got coaching changes to talk
Matt
about.
Matt Stepp, your Texas High School football fun fact of the week. Mm-hmm. I went into the vault.
Uh-oh. He's in his bag.
I'm in my bag.
Okay.
Because the offseason, I have less to do on a weekly basis.
So he's like, what can I do to throw Stepp off this week?
Matt Stepp, which first year UIL 11 man Texas High School football coach, so first year, led their team to the largest increase in points per game average in the 2024 season. So, first year coach improved their offense the most from a points per game perspective. So, from the team that he took over in 2023 to what they did in 2024, which coach increased it the most? Told you I'm in my bag.
Yeah, this is tough. I'm just going through some of the new coaches for 2024 to see if there was someone that really.
I will give you a hint.
Okay, I'll go with this one. I'm going to go with Dusty Ortiz at Carrollton Creekview.
Matt Stepp, that is an excellent guess. And Dusty Ortiz comes in about like fifth on this list.
Okay.
Or sixth.
That's because a respectable finish.
If you didn't know, Dusty Ortiz took an 0-10 Carrollton Creekview team, mm-hmm. and they went 8-3. I mean, a remarkable turnaround. Yes. Well, I mean, one of the very best. We're gonna do Coach of the Year conversation here in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like Dusty Ortiz should be on your short list of like
what he did. Job. Agree.
But the answer, you're gonna be mad you missed this. Matt Stepp, okay. It's a Matt Stepp favorite.
Oh no.
From your West Mesquite Wranglers.
Oh, my guy, Steven Jackson. Okay.
At West Mesquite.
Same district as Creekview.
In 2023, the West Mesquite Wranglers averaged, 14.7 points per game.
Okay.
In 2024, under Steven Jackson, the first year, they averaged 41.3, a 26.6 points per game increase.
Captain Jack getting it done.
Average. I want to think about that. They scored four more touchdowns per game.
That's pretty impressive.
Than they did last year.
I actually talked to Steven Jackson. Today. Coach Jackson, if you're watching this, do your survey, sir.
Yes.
If he sent you a survey, do it.
It was the most impressive, one of the most impressive turnarounds because they went from 3-7 to 11-1. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So West Mesquite, Steven Jackson, is your turnaround artist as far as offense is concerned. Mm-hmm. In your Texas High School Fun Fact of the Week.
West Mesquite might be the winner of a Steppy.
Oh, we'll find that out coming up here.
Hey, there's China. Hey,
just
China.
A little bit. Hi, China. Hi, China. All right, Matthew, let's get into some coaching changes from across the state of Texas. Of course, if you go to texasfootball.com, you can find all of the coaching changes you're keeping track of. All of them. And you mentioned a record pace. It's been wild out there, Matthew.
It has been wild in these coaching change streets. Let me tell you. It's been wild.
And what's funny is that there have been some pretty high-profile ones mm-hmm. that have come open. We kind of teased it in the open. I want to start in Central Texas.
Okay.
Because there is one very large job that is open, mm-hmm. that has been open for, now we're kind of getting to the point of it being a little bit stale.
Sometimes the coaching changes that happen right before Christmas, we give them a little grace because you get the 2 weeks of Christmas where you're really not doing anything. But yeah, Temple has been open for a little while.
Temple, Scott Stewart stepped down after 9 seasons. Temple mm-hmm. is a big job. Let's just be very clear. One school town, mm-hmm. 6A, Central Texas.
Tradition,
crazy fan base, high expectations.
Mm-hmm. Blue front, white back magic. Absolutely. Remember that V&A? Mm-hmm. Blue front, white back.
Temple.
There you go.
What can you tell us about what's going on in Temple?
Well, I can tell you that a multiple-time state championship head coach is mm-hmm. quite interested in the job.
Oh, interesting.
But I don't think he's going to apply for it.
Okay.
I think because he's got a really good situation where he's mm-hmm. at, and you know, when you apply for these jobs, you get ended up on a free FOI. If you don't know, you can request mm-hmm. an applicant list. And if your name gets out there and you don't get the job, it makes life real difficult. So I mm-hmm. think he would be very interested in talking to the folks in Temple. But I don't know if Temple's going to go that route, if Temple's going to make people apply and go through the process. So I would expect some names to begin emerging soon. Because this job's been open a little while, I would imagine that they are going to begin interviews if they haven't already begun interviews. But my sources have not indicated that Temple has even started interviews. They do have a strong candidate on staff, their offensive coordinator, Chad President. Mm-hmm. If you remember, he is a Temple alum led Temple to a state championship game appearance against Toledo and had a great good college career there at Tulsa.
This makes me feel very old.
He joined the staff this past year as the offensive coordinator, so you've got an alum, a hometown guy on staff. A lot of people think he's going to get the job. You know, we'll see. But I think if they open it up to external candidates, they will get some quality candidates. And again, you know, some candidates that I think would like to talk to the superintendent if they can get them to formally talk to them without applying.
It was a sad situation months back when Alan Aldridge passed away at Fort Bend Bush. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The sudden passing of a Super Bowl champion as a player. Back in week two, mm-hmm. Javian Thornton took over in what can only be described as an impossible situation.
Yeah, very difficult circumstances.
In Fort Bend Bush. Do you have a feeling quite yet on what the situation at Fort Bend Bush is going to be?
Yeah, my sources indicate that the leader, the kind of the smart money would be on an assistant in the Houston area. Mm-hmm. I've heard a defensive coordinator from a power program likely would be a guy that would be kind of the leader in the clubhouse there. But, you know, we'll see what Fort Bend ISD does there. But I would expect an assistant coach from a name brand program to possibly be the guy there.
Staying in the Houston area, Fulcher How about a bit of a seismic move here? Fulshear has been one of the quickly rising programs down there in the Houston area in Lamar Consolidated ISD, and Nick Caduti has been at the helm of that. He leaves to go take over at Klein, which A, is a really interesting grab for Klein and the Bearcats.
Great grab for them.
Really interesting move there, and also opens up a very interesting job there at Fulshear at the in the very talent-rich, we know, Lamar Consolidated ISD, but we also know how many ways that that district gets split up now at this point.
And there's another high school coming. They should be close to hiring for. They have a brand new high school that's opening in August of 25. That'll play varsity football in 2026. Tomas High School, Gene Tomas High School in Richmond. So Richmond Tomas will be a school in 2026.
Cool.
And so they're interviewing for that job too. So they're going to get split again. I think the biggest thing for Caduti going to Klein, when you look at it, I think number one, he's getting a pretty good raise.
Okay.
And I think there is some fear that, you know, with another high school coming online, that's going to cut into Fulshear's attendance zone, make it a little more difficult to compete. So, and I think he's getting a facility at Red Klein's got really good facilities. Biggest thing I think is just he's getting a really nice raise, and I think he's going to do it. Klein's not broken. They were 6-4 last year. I think they just need, and I think Caduti is a perfect fit there. He brings a lot of energy. He brings that wild ass style of football where they're going for two. They're kicking onside kicks. They don't punt. They're just letting it all hang out. And so they buy into that. And Caduti's really a culture guy. I think you'll see that at Klein.
And a hard part.
Yes.
He is a big fan of the hard part.
If I need to have
hair.
Caduti's from Philadelphia originally. I need to break down cheesesteaks. He does his popcorn reviews on Twitter, which are excellent, by the way. But I need to talk cheesesteaks.
Is he an Eagles guy? He has to be, right?
I hope not. I like him. I hope he's not an Eagles guy.
We can figure this out.
But I need to talk cheesesteaks with him. Is he a cheesesteak traditionalist?
Oh yeah,
Cheese Whiz.
Or is he
like the provolone cheesesteak guy? So we need to, you know. Coach Caduti, hit me up. Let's talk cheesesteaks.
Let's track a job that has like a number of our favorite people involved in it.
Okay.
Brad LaPlante leaves Hutto. The former Hutto coach became the athletic director at Hutto. He leaves Hutto to become the new athletic director at Montgomery ISD. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to him.
Gets to live on Lake Conroe.
Yeah, very exciting.
Good living there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, it's a very different, so it's snowing in Houston right now. We're recording this on January 21st.
It's snowing in Houston.
But he must feel right at home being from Minnesota.
Minnesota. He's like, oh, this is laughing at the Houstonians dealing with snow.
He's probably out there sledding or just like in his Bermuda shorts. Anyway.
Yeah, t-shirt.
Will Compton became the head coach to replace Brad LaPlante. Will Compton is now going to be the athletic director to replace Brad LaPlante.
Correct, yes.
Which now leaves open the head coaching job there at Hutto, which is another attractive job.
Yeah, it is. Now, keep in mind, Hutto, another second high school coming. I think that's 2028 when they're getting a second high school, which will also have a mascot of the Hippos.
Mm-hmm. So, wait, what?
Yeah, the new high school in Hutto, their mascot's also going to be the Hippos. There's going to be two Hippos. Hutto is a hippo community. If you drive around Hutto, there's hippos everywhere. And so they're too hard. They're huge. They're like you can't. It's expensive to move.
I don't know what to do with this information.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that. This is gonna be a really attractive job. You've got obviously I'm biased. I think the superintendent at Hutto is awesome, Jenny Netherland. Very supportive of athletics. It's an attractive place to live. Fast growing community. Fairly new stadium. Good facilities. Like it's gonna be an attractive job. I think they're gonna get a lot of people. Throw their name in the hat, and I think Miss Netherland's going to have a tough time narrowing the candidate pool because there's going to be so many quality applicants. Really good job here.
KDISD, there's been some movement. Katie Taylor, head coach Chad Simmons, announced his retirement from Taylor after seven seasons. He's been in coaching for 38 years.
Been around for a while.
They stay internal within KDISD. They hire Katie Jordan, defensive coordinator, Chris Babin, who does have head coaching experience of his own.
Yeah, he was the head coach at Lumberton for a few years there and did a good job at Lumberton, came to Katie. I believe his daughter is a really good gymnast, so I think getting into the city was good for them to have those, you know. Not sure how many gymnastics facilities there are in the Golden Triangle, so getting into the Houston area is good for him and his family. He's done a good job at Jordan. Third round of the playoffs this year in early stages of their program. and he gets to go to Katie Taylor to try to revive that. It wasn't long ago Katie Taylor was in a state semifinal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that long ago, they were in a state semifinal. So this is a program that has experienced some success in the recent history, so just kind of needs to rejuvenate things there a little bit.
We talked in the Texas High School Football Fun Fact of the Week about West Mesquite, and you said from the jump that you thought Steven Jackson was an inspired hire there at West Mesquite.
I think I feel like I was ahead of the curve there.
Allow me to hop ahead of the curve here.
All right.
Okay. Mesquite High has hired Rafael Thomas to be their head coach there, the Houston Yates head coach.
Yes. Which, by the way, I have an interview with Coach Thomas on from the Piney Woods Coaches Clinic on YouTube right now.
A home run hire, my opinion. I think this is a home run hire that is one of those. This is another one of those hires that, like, you and I are sitting here being like, that's a great hire. Yeah. And people in Mesquite are like, who's, I don't know who this guy is. You'll get to know him, and I think he's going to do a great job.
Yeah, did a great job at Yates. He's going to have a lot more resources to work with in Mesquite ISD. I think he's going to, he's a guy who, I think he knows what he's getting into. He knows it's a rebuild. He knows they're in a really tough district, but he's not afraid of the challenge. This is a guy who's a great player, a multi-sport star at Lufkin back in the day, you know, football, baseball. He got drafted by the Dodgers. He played college football at Oklahoma State. Like, this is a dude who's been successful as a player, as an athlete, and as a coach, and been at good programs. He was at Marshall with Claude Mathis. He's done a good job at Yates, turning that program back around, back-to-back 8-3 seasons. So, great hire there. I think, you know, he was in the mix for the West Mesquite job, and I think Cody Groves kind of had it in his head, okay, this guy's a star.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't give him West Mesquite because we got Steven Jackson, but the next job that comes open, we're going to bring this guy in. And sure enough, the next job that comes open, Rafael Thomas is the guy.
Got another bite at the apple. There are two openings in Round Rock ISD at the moment. Cedar Ridge is open after Sam Robinson steps down. And then Round Rock Westwood is open. Our friend Anthony Wood, a great dude, retires after 20 years there.
One of the best guys in the game.
Just absolutely. Just spectacular dude. Two openings there in Round Rock ISD, which you figure are going to have pretty good applicants. Lists.
They should. I personally, I think, you know, I would say Cedar Ridge might be a little bit more of attractive of a job, but I think both jobs you can go in there. You're gonna have to do some work. There's some rebuilding and some retooling to do, but I think those are both jobs where you can go in, and if you can get the right mix and just hit it right, you can do some damage.
Barbers Hill. So we'll reset.
Sure.
Barbers Hill is open because Carl Absek is out after four seasons. Carl Absek, of course, a state champion head coach from Cedar Park, took there. I think this is pretty common knowledge. Barbers Hill is known to be flush with resources. They will pay coaches well.
They do.
That is one thing that they, and that is, you've seen coaches like Tom Westerberg go there. Ronnie Gage went
there. Last three head coaches they've had have won, been all, state champs. Ronnie Gage, Tom Westerberg, and then Carl Absek.
Have all been state champion head coaches. That is a reason that's one of the ways they do business is, we have resources we're going to throw at coaches because we want great coaches.
Sure.
What's going on at Barbers Hill?
Well, with those resources comes expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, part of it is, you know, I think Carl Absek did a great job at Barbers Hill. I think maybe certain folks in administration felt like they could do more. They're paying this much money. Mm-hmm. We expect more, which, you know, is fair. Now, there are some other, I think, some things that need to get worked out behind the scenes that I think coaches are aware of in the Barbers Hill situation that I think has caused some to be hesitant. Because make no mistake about it, Barbers Hill has taken some big swings at some big names this offseason. Since the, and even before the announcement that Absek was out, my sources have been telling me that Barbers Hill, their administration was proactively reaching out to some of the biggest names in Texas high school football. We're talking guys with multiple state championship rings that are at really good places.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, they've been told no. And part of that is, I think, those guys are in great situations. Why would they leave a great situation to go to Barbers Hill, even if it is a little bit more money? Sometimes that money's not everything. But I also think there is some hesitation from coaches because of some of the things that have been going around in the coaching community about maybe some of the unreasonable expectations that are perceived there by coaches from the administration. So I think the administration is going to have to do a better job of selling that to coaches and saying, hey, you know, this isn't as bad a situation as some people are saying, you know, that kind of thing. So I think there's a little bit of a sales job. It's not just about the money. I think they got to do a little bit of a sales job. So I know a couple of guys in the college ranks have been reached out to. Mm-hmm. One of them in the college ranks, another multi-time state champion. So we're talking that they're taking big swings here, but I think they're going to have to get that piece worked out. As of now, you know, I talked to a candidate in over the weekend, and he was basically given the weekend to decide, and he decided it was best for him to stay where he's at. So I don't know where they're at this point after the holiday weekend, but whoever gets that job, I'm pretty sure is going to be paid well, but they're also going to have high expectations.
One guy who is leaving the college ranks to come back to Texas high school football is coming to Denton High. Billy Miller steps down after 8 seasons at Denton High, and they have gone to the college ranks and grabbed former Kansas head coach David Beatty. Who was recently on the staff. Where was he on the staff at?
Florida Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic. He is now coming back to Texas to take over at Denton High. He was head coach at North Dallas. He was head coach at Irving MacArthur. A good coach. And, yeah, a former Jayhawks head coach.
Yeah.
Now the head coach of the Denton Broncos.
Yeah. That's I mean, hey, Chad Morris. We had Chad Morris, who was the former Arkansas head coach, who was the head coach at Allen. You know, this is a great hire for Denton. I mean, David Beatty's roots are in Texas high school football. That's, you know, where he got his start. I mean, his last year, Irving MacArthur, was a really good year. And, you know, he went off to college and has been in the college game for almost 20 years. I think it's a good hire. I think Beatty probably getting towards the tail end of his career, probably looking to get out of the rat race that is college football. And, you know, college football recruiting is a grind. Like, you're doing that all the time, and it's a 24-hour day job to recruit. Recruiting never stops. You know, ask Greg Powers that. Recruiting doesn't stop. And I think Coach Beatty probably looking just to kind of, you know, towards the end of his career, get a little more stable situation. And you know, I don't think he's going to come into Denton High with a ton of expectations. It's a program that's been struggling. I think he can kind of quietly get in there and establish his program and build from the ground up there.
Let's talk about another huge job that's open.
Okay.
Lufkin. Okay.
Yes.
Lufkin out there, deep East Texas. And a, you know, Todd Quick was the head coach there at 13 years.
And been there longer than that is, you know, cool.
I think, like, there is going to be a, like, when it's written about him, he was the guy after the guy. You know what I mean? In the same way that, like, people are talking about, like, when Bill Belichick stepped down, you don't want to be, or the guy to follow Nick Saban and stuff like that. In Lufkin, he's the guy after that. He followed John Outlaw.
Yeah. And if you remember, I mean, he followed John Outlaw under difficult circumstances.
Absolutely.
John Outlaw died on Christmas Eve of a heart attack when he was in the, you know, he had a lot of coaching left in him. And it was a sad, I mean, John Outlaw is loved, and if there's not a statue of John Outlaw in Lufkin, there will be.
Yeah,
that man was loved, and so for Coach Quick to come, and Coach Quick was Coach Outlaw's right hand man. And I remember watching news articles, and you know, Quick couldn't get through an interview without crying because it was a sudden thing. Like, he literally was out jogging and passed away. And so to do that and to last as long as he did is a testament to him. And he's leaving Lufkin in good shape. They had a 10-2 year last year. There's a lot of talent in the pipeline. It's a good job.
Yeah, it's a really good job. It's another job similar to Temple where there's high expectations. It's a football crazy town.
Oh, yeah.
High expectations. I think that Todd Quick leaves as a guy who is pretty well, pretty beloved there.
Very respected, yes.
Very respected because of what he did. This is going to be a job that is going to attract a significant amount of interest because of the pedigree there, because of the talent out there, because there's big-time talent in the Lufkin.
And there's a lot of young talent there, and you know, they're using a search firm, so it's a little bit different situation there. My sources are telling me that the search firm has kind of wrapped up their initial kind of scrub of interviews, and they should be bringing back 5 candidates by the end of this week to sit down and talk to the superintendent. I've heard some names, some guys who have state championships on their resume in the mix, not only in Texas, but in other states as well. So it'll be very interesting to see where they go for this job. I think they're going to land themselves a quality head coach at Lufkin because the caliber of candidate that's going to apply for that job.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happening at Saginaw. Okay. So Saginaw is open. What in the world? Okay. This is a wild story. I feel like that is not getting a ton of attention. So Mike Peters leaves Fort Stockton, right? And he did good things at Fort Stockton.
He did a great job at Fort
great
Stockton.
Great job at Fort Stockton. He comes to Saginaw. And I remember all of us were thinking, okay, he must really want to get into the Metroplex, I guess, get a job. Because Saginaw,
they were struggling.
Woof.
Bye, China.
All bye, China. All he does is go 11-1 and not just the best year in program history, like very clearly far and away not
about
even
like five
close.
Games, I think their best 6-5 I think was their best year, and they go 11-1.
And one.
Yeah.
And so Mike Peters says,
well, I'm done. I'm going to go back and be the athletic director at Pegasus.
Which is where he's from. That's where he's from. So that's the rub there. That's why he took the Fort Stockton job, because he was at Saginaw. He was at Saginaw, goes to Fort Stockton, comes back to Saginaw, now goes to Pegasus.
This is an only in Texas high school football story.
Yeah, so he's going back to Pegasus. I think...
Good for him. Do what makes you happy. This is obviously going to make him happy, and we wish you nothing but the best. Good dude out there, and
he gets to go to his hometown. He gets to go to his hometown. Yeah. I'm sure it's always been kind of a dream of his to go back to his hometown and make a difference, and he gets to do that. So, Coach Peters, when I get to Pecos, you know, take me somewhere good to eat.
Absolutely. So, I remember when that came out, I was like, what? It was kind of wild.
Because they had such a good year last year, they're going to get. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the assistant athletic director, John Abinshand, former Boswell coach, just to kind of get their timeline and kind of see what they're, where they're at. And, you know, I would expect them to make a hire probably sometime around Valentine's Day. It's kind of their goal. We'll see how it goes. But I expect some my phone to start ringing about names who are interviewing here pretty soon.
Ennis, they hired today, but we should take a moment to honor Sam Harrell, who retired. A remarkable career, nearly 250 wins, one of the all-time great Texas high school football coaches, and just a remarkable story.
Three state championships. What a great guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a remarkable story because, you know, he's courageously been battling MS, and when his first retirement, I remember seeing him at coaching school, and that disease was taking its toll.
The disease was winning. Let's be real about it.
Yeah, and he goes overseas and gets some stem cell treatment. And we hear how well he was doing, and he was back coaching within a year.
Yeah.
And then he comes back to Ennis, and he 2019, they took Aledo to the mat. Mm-hmm. That was a great regional final. I'll still say to this day, when Ennis scored that touchdown at the end of the game to go for two in the win, and they did, and they played it safe, kicked the PAT, and Aledo ended up winning it overtime. I think if Ennis wins that game, Sam Harrell's got four state championships. I think they win it that year.
Because they ended up going, Aledo went on and won that.
They beat College Station, Coach Harrell's been great for Texas high school football. Wish him the best as he battles MS, and nothing but the best for Coach Harrell. So.
A true, you know, we toss around the word legend, but a true Texas high school football legend is Sam Harrell. Mm-hmm. Ennis has made a hire. They have hired Don. They've named Don Drake their athletic director.
They promoted the AD. Yeah, Don Drake has experience. You know, he started the program there at McKinney Boyd. I think spent 12 years as the head coach of McKinney Boyd. The record's a little bit deceiving because that first year he goes 0-10 with a brand new program. But other than that, he's done a good job. I think he led McKinney Boyd to the second round of the playoffs three times and a regional semifinal once. So an experienced, steady hand there in Don Drake to take over at Ennis.
Staying in the DFW Metroplex, and we'll kind of zoom through a few of these. Grapevine. Bob DeBessie announces his retirement. It was always a bit of an odd fit there. At Grapevine,
very much a transitional hire. When Mike Alexander left, I feel like Coach DeBess was more of a transitional hire to kind of just keep, you know, just kind of take the job while they kind of went through some growing pains, which they have. They were 0-10 last year, and they had some good, you know, that job came down to Coach Smith and a guy in the private school ranks who's got multiple state championships, and Coach Smith gets the job and well thought of offensive mind. Yeah. His first head coaching job in Texas high school football, but he's been a head coach before.
Yeah, Ryan Smith, the offensive coordinator from East Texas Baptist, gets the job there at Grapevine. It'll be interesting to see there. Terrence Orr gets the job at Mesquite Poteet, Mesquite ISD's been very busy.
Yeah, the Orr name, if you know that name is familiar, he is the brother of Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator Zach Orr.
Wichita Falls Legacy is open for the kind of for the first time in its school history.
Yeah.
As Lawrence Johnson is going to leave to go be the takeover at Brownfield.
He's AD head football coach at Brownfield. Yeah,
that'll be interesting to see. Henderson is open. Another East Texas job. Clay Baker is going back to Price Carlisle.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a red flag. I'm just going to be honest. When you're a head coach at a 4A and you go back to a 2A, now it gets to be the AD at Price Carlisle, but Henderson apparently is – then they end up reassigning their athletic director as well. So I think it's Henderson's hiring for the AD head football coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. keep an eye on that one. Yeah. Henderson is
good facilities, good mm-hmm. athletes. They just haven't been able to put it together recently.
We will see if Will Wilkerson puts in for his alma mater, Pleasanton.
Word is Will Wilkerson is a big favorite for the Pleasanton job.
Poor Lavaca Calhoun's open. Another great dude, Richard Whitaker, announces his retirement.
Peace, love, crabs.
And a guy who 191, 112 running that double mm-hmm. slot offense, mm-hmm. Which is. Has befuddled
a lot of people. Oh yeah,
a lot of people have spent a lot of time shaking their head watching tape mm-hmm. of Richard Whitaker's offenses down there. But certainly well deserving of his retirement. And I'll be interested to see which way they go.
I've heard that they want to kind of possibly open it up,
really revolutionize things,
and get a little more. Let's embrace the forward pass.
Oh, wow. Let's not go crazy. Rod Blunt is leaving Geronimo Navarro to take over at George West, which is interesting.
Navarro's an interesting, Coach Blunt was an assistant at George West, mm-hmm. but Navarro's a really interesting small school job, just kind of right out there outside of San Antonio, kind of Seguin area.
Pittsburgh is open. Tristan mm-hmm. Abrin, who's mm-hmm. a guy who led Paul Pewitt to that kind of Cinderella run to a state championship mm-hmm. game back in 2019?
2019. You're 2019. Right. Yeah.
Steps down after four seasons there at Pittsburgh.
Tough district. Gilmer, Pleasant Grove.
Tough area. I mean, I'm interested to see where he lands. Tristan Abrin, a guy who's mm-hmm. got good pedigree, good resume there.
Yes.
But it just didn't work out for them at Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh is now open. Let's see. I'm kind of zooming through a few more of these.
Jerry, it's a lot of jobs, isn't there? It's a lot of openings.
Jerry Bomar has retired at mm-hmm. Groesbeck mm-hmm. after 40 years
guys,
coaching, 262 wins.
And a Jerry state Bowman. Championship.
Back in 1991, he won a title with the Goats.
Yeah, he led the Goats, the Groesbeck Goats.
Yes, congratulations to Coach Bomar on his retirement, most certainly. I am very interested in seeing Marion is an interesting job. Ryan mm-hmm. Miller mm-hmm. stepping down after seven seasons. They've had some good years there. Yeah. There's talent down there in Marion.
Kind of right there outside of Cibolo, similar to Navarro, fast-growing area, potential growth coming down the pipeline.
Once in future coach Luke Blackwell at Mineola.
Yeah.
He was the athletic director. He's winning the AD role as Aaron Slider went there. He spent 2 years. He retired. Luke Blackwell sliding back into the head coaching
role. I think, I'm hoping that out of turn here, but I believe Coach Blackwell had, one of his children had some medical issues, so he needed to step back and gave Coach Slider the AD role. Thankfully, it sounds like those medical issues have been resolved. Now Coach Blackwell can step back in to do the dual role of AD head football coach.
Paradise is open. This came open basically the day after they lost in the state semifinals. Yeah. A remarkable run in the state semifinals for Coach Joe Koch.
Yeah.
But he retires after by the way, a remarkable run
best season in school history. Yeah. So Coach Koch is a Hall of Famer in Wisconsin as a head football coach, and he came here and did a great job at Paradise.
So he did a great job. Paradise.
I have a feeling that will be an internal hire, even though they haven't announced that yet. It wouldn't shock me if that's an internal hire.
Russell Lucas has retired at Sweetwater. Mm-hmm. Another good dude. Led Hamlin to a. Did he lead Hamlin to a title game?
They lost. Remember they had Austin Lozano, one of our folk heroes.
That was a dude's rock.
Yeah.
Let's see. Muleshoe is open mm-hmm. because Jason Richards is leaving the Mules to take over at the new Friendship ISD squad.
Yes, Lubbock Friendship Memorial.
Lubbock Friendship Memorial. Mm-hmm.
I called it Lubbock Memorial.
Uh-huh.
I thought the school name was just Memorial, but apparently the school's name is Friendship Memorial. That is the name. The official name of the school is Friendship Memorial. So.
From the people who brought you Lubbock Cooper Liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep an eye on, but Muleshoe is open.
Congrats to Coach Richards.
He did a great job at Muleshoe.
They're crapping on the school name
tepper. He will take over there at Lubbock, at what I'm sure I'll call Lubbock Memorial. Okay, Rogers. Charlie Roten takes out. He had 8 really nice years there at Rogers. Yeah. It ended kind of poorly this past year.
a little mystifying to me, to be frank. Yeah. I thought Coach Roten did a heck of a job there. A little mystified. I don't know what happened. I don't know. Maybe they got crossways. And maybe the administration just decided it was time for a change. I don't know. But they've done a lot of winning, and I think Coach Roten will land on his feet.
We do want to make sure we mention this. I mentioned this on TFT, but Heath Aldrich, the head coach there at Wichita Falls City View, passed away back mm-hmm. on the day after Christmas. He had been battling cancer. He'd been very forward and open and talking about his battle with cancer.
Yeah.
He passed away. Certainly, we're thinking about not only him and the entire city view.
Yeah, his wife community. And children. You know, very yeah. young family.
Yeah, exactly know, so. Right. But a guy who really impacted that community. Too young. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a sad thing, and mm-hmm. you know, unfortunately, we have to talk about City View as a job opening because of that, and really that area. You know, Burke Burnett
mm-hmm.
lost Coach Boyd last year. We've had a lot. You know, Coach Tatamy at Grand Prairie mm-hmm. passed away. We mm-hmm. talked about Coach Aldridge. A lot of coaches, passing away so suddenly before their time. So always, I hate to report that. It's not probably one of the worst parts of the job.
There's no way to pivot. So we'll
hard divide.
Groveton. Mm-hmm. Mike Waldy is going to depart after one season. They will be on their fourth coach, I believe, in 4 years.
A little bit of a revolving door there and struggling. Groveton is a program that has a proud history and has fallen on hard times. And I just think they need some stability. They need to be patient with whoever gets the job and understand that there probably are going to be some lean years. But if they can just ride it out with someone they like and stick with them, I think you can get it turned around. But there just has to be a level of patience there, and it's not going to happen overnight. You know, they didn't get to this point overnight, and they're not going to get out of it overnight.
Honey Grove is open, which mm-hmm. If I had told you 5 years ago Honey Grove is open, you'd say so.
Mm-hmm.
But Honey Grove is open in the year 2025, which is interesting because Shane Fletcher helped turn that into a really nice yeah. job. He's now going to join the staff at Southeastern Oklahoma State.
Yeah, doing a little rehire, double mm-hmm. dip in action. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Coach Fletcher. They're hiring tonight.
Oh, okay.
I would expect a Wildcat from East Texas to get that job.
Mm.
A little tease there.
Wildcat from East.
Wildcat from East Texas.
Patrick Mahomes?
Yes, Patrick Mahomes, head coach at Honeygrove. He's quitting the Chiefs before
before the AFC Championship game.
What a story that would be. If that happened, would you drive to Honeygrove and interview Mahomes?
I would drive tonight to go interview him.
All right, there you go.
And finally, I would be remiss. I do have to mention this. This was we started off with a tease about Central Texas.
Oh, we're wrapping it up. There you go.
MART is open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kevin Hoffman retires after 9 seasons as the head coach in what can only be described as one of the greatest 9-year stretches in Texas high school football history.
Yeah, pretty good little run. Pretty good little
121-13 in 9 seasons.
Seems good.
6 title games, 3 titles. A great dude, also just a very, very good
dude.
I wish him all the best. There, I mean, look, man, MART is a juggernaut program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Big expectations, a ton of talent always.
Ton of tradition.
I am really interested to see where they go here.
Yeah, this is a kind of a real inflection point mm-hmm. for them in their program history to see where they go from here. You know, this mm-hmm. is they struggled last year a little bit. I mean, this was last year. They got to the area around the playoffs, but let's be honest, that's not mm-hmm. excuse me, that's not what they're expecting at MART. And so they're kind of at a crossroads. We'll see where they go. I've heard some interesting names in the mix, but I haven't really talked to anyone. And I've not talked to Coach Hoffman. I mean, I don't even know if he's aware or in the know on who's putting in for it. I don't think this will be an internal hire. I think they'll hire somebody from the outside.
Okay.
That's my guess. That's just me. I don't have any insider info. I haven't talked to anyone. Just kind of reading.
I mean, that'll be the first external hire they've made.
Because they hired, because Hoffman took over for Rusty Nail.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the best names of a coach ever.
Mike Sports and Rusty Nail.
Mike Sports. That's what you need to have the tap and step coaches mm-hmm. all name team. Mike Sports and Rusty Nail.
Yep. Okay. So that
there really was a coach named Mike Sports in DNA.
Yeah. Keller Central?
Keller Central, yeah.
Anyway, there's some coaching changes. You can find all of them on TexasFootball.com. All right, Matthew. 2024 Texas high school football season officially in the books. We're going to finish our recap of it now. And that is to hand out our awards.
Mm-hmm.
I hand out the Teppies and you hand out the Steppies.
All right.
We've got some categories to hand out some awards.
Do we have trophies? Adam.
We'll hand out some awards. And so some of these are straightforward, and others, well, the categories may need a little bit of explaining. Okay.
Are we allowed to overlap? Like if you pick the same guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
You get two awards, coach.
Yeah, exactly right.
Your player.
We will start. Oh my gosh, my headphones.
No.
Oh gosh.
We'll start with our game of the year. Matt Stepp, what was your game of the year? Steppy?
I'm doing my top 10 games that I saw in person this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to name my number one game that I saw in person as my game of the year. And that was the 5A Division II State Championship game between the South Oak Cliff Golden Bears and the Richmond Randall Lions. Randall wins 38-35 in one of the most exciting games I've seen in quite some time. Huge upset. This is a candidate for upset of the year, I think. But I think Randall proved they belong in a fantastic football game. Big plays left and right. Just two heavyweights throwing punches at each other. It was a great football game. My favorite game of the year, Randall and Sock.
I'm going to stay in that same... At the state championship games, a game I saw in person, Matt Stepp, 2A Division I state championship game, Ganado over Stamford in triple overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the call with Mike Leslie on the network, and that was like perhaps the most fun I've ever had, like watching a game. It was dramatic. It was like such... What I love about when you get into a really good small school Texas high school football game is that you start to see who's got more in the tank, because these guys are going both ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like Bryce Ullman getting the championship-winning interception is remarkable when you consider that he was also the quarterback who, like, they leaned on to make every play. Like, everything about that is remarkable. Two teams, a perfect example of a game nobody deserved to lose.
Correct, yeah.
Stanford-Ganado, or Ganado-Stanford, I should say, is my pick for game of the year against the Teppy.
My honorable mention game that I was not at, the regular season meeting, well, the only meeting, the Hitchcock and Columbus.
Uh-huh.
What a game that was. I watched it on Texan Live. Wow.
All right. So now you get to make some friends here. Your team of the year. You can go any way you want with this.
Sure, sure, sure.
But who is your team of the year?
The Woodville Eagles.
Okay.
Never have been past the second round of the playoffs before. They just haul off and get to a state championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable run for them, Coach Ty Robinson. Really galvanized that community. Did a lot. You know, the state championship game didn't go as planned, but doesn't tarnish what was an amazing season for the Woodville Eagles. And so they're my team of the year. I really love what they did.
It's an excellent pick. I'm really impressed with what they did. I think I'm going to go a little bit off the board here.
Okay.
I think my team of the year is the Post Antelopes. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And here's why. Okay? Like, I know that they didn't play for a state championship. They made it to the state semifinals, right? They made it to the regional finals, right? And for all, go back to our playoff preview edition. Go back to any point in the season. I don't think we were ever talking about Post, ever. Even when they went 10-0, we were like, well, that's a cool story, but
sure,
okay.
Sure, sure.
This is about Sunray, and this is about Stanford. And this is about the other two teams, if you remember, Panhandle, and this is about Hawley, right? It's about those four teams. Post, you go over there. Post just hauls off and makes it to the regional final a year after going 2-8.
Yeah.
Okay.
They go 13-1.
They were 4-16 in their previous two seasons combined, and then they go 13-1.
Unbelievable.
I think the Post Antelopes are my team of the year. Great I think choice. They were absolutely remarkable.
Can't go wrong with that pick.
All right. Matt Stepp, who is your coach of the year?
This was tough. I went back and forth in this. I'm going to give a little bit of love to a guy who had been so close so many times and finally got over the hump this year. I'm going to go Larry Hill, Smithson Valley. They get to the state championship game last year against Toledo and just get pummeled. Get their pants pulled down, you know. And nobody's really taking them seriously this year. And they just, you know, they lose to Piper in district play and no one's talking about them. And they just quietly, in the most Smithson Valley way ever, get to the state championship game and then win a very Smithson Valley State Championship over Highland Park in a very Larry Hill style game. Congrats to him. They got to the state championship game, finally got over the hump there. He was 0-4 in state title games, and they got over the hump and got it done. So congrats to Coach Hill. You are my coach of the year.
This is going to sound a little weird because this is a guy who lost in a state championship game.
Okay.
And I hope he doesn't hear me say this. I think my coach of the year is Riley Dodge.
He was one of the guys I was thinking about.
Okay. Yeah. This team, first of all, they make it to a state championship game. When you consider the infirmary that they were running at South Lake Carroll by the time they got to that title game. I mean, remember, their quarterback was Angelo Renda. Was not a known commodity coming into this game.
He was kind of expected to be a bus driver.
Exactly,
because
right.
They had two Division I running backs.
Two, who both go down as the season, as it goes on. And he's able to steer them, find a way to get them to a state championship game. I know they came up short in the title game, but I think there's a real argument to be made that that is the best coaching job that he's done in his career.
He coached his butt off.
He really did. Yeah. I was wildly, wildly impressed. Mm-hmm. All right. Matt Sepp, what is your upset of the year?
Give me, in the playoffs, Sunnyvale taking down Gilmer.
Okay.
That was a huge upset for me. Defending state champ Gilmer, I think we were all expecting, you know, Gilmer, you know, I think we were expecting Gilmer and Carthage to meet up in the regional final, and Sunnyvale had other ideas and knocked them off. I was very surprised by that. That was the second round of the playoffs, too.
It's an excellent pick. I think I am going to go with... There was one team that pulled off two enormous upsets. This is a playoff upset as well.
Okay.
Do you remember... Let me find it. Let me make sure I get this right because they deserve to be shouted out correctly. You're listening to live coverage of me looking through a spreadsheet.
He really is.
First round of the playoffs.
Okay, first round, okay.
Fort Bend Elkins 31.
Oh, yeah.
Alvin Shadow Creek 28.
We did have some weirdness in
the Remember when
3.
Shadow Creek was like a sleeper to like win Region 3? Like we were
That was close to my what an idiot pick of right. Shadow Creek.
Like Shadow Creek was a team we were like, I don't know. And then Fort Bend Elkins just up in like, they were 32 point underdogs
That's
according
crazy.
To the computer.
And they won by how much?
They won by three.
Yeah, okay.
But they came through. Yeah. I would put that on there. Honorable mention, Pilot Point over Mejia.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Another first round playoff
upset. Fort Bend Elkins over Alvin Shadow Creek is my upset of the year. Yeah.
Wasn't Pilot Point like 3-7, too?
Yes.
All those 3-7 teams getting in the playoffs. You know, too many teams in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Who is your coordinator of the year? Let's get a little nerdy here.
Yeah, I'm going to go real name brand here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question about this to me. Offensive coordinator at North Crowley, Eli Reinhart.
Yep. We're in agreement here.
What a job that guy did this year. He was unbelievable.
I think it's unanimous to me. Yeah. I thought that and I've intentionally stayed away from you could have given North Crowley team of the year. You could have given Ray Gage coach of the year.
Fair.
There's a lot of different accolades you could give them. To me, I've been keeping my powder dry because I think what Eli Reinhart did there, and I know that people are going to say, "Well, look at all the weaponry they've got." And that is true. But go and look at the schemes that he was drawing up.
And the timing of the play calls and the trick plays that he would pull out. I mean, that flea flicker call on the opening play of the Westlake game.
Oh, my gosh,
what
dude.
Cojones.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, unbelievable.
So. Would not surprise me to see Eli Reinhart become a head coach in this offseason cycle.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a hot name. A hot name.
Agree.
All right. Perhaps the most coveted. I think the most coveted of the awards here. V&A, do you know where we're going with this? The most coveted of the awards?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she does.
It's the Dudes Rock Dude of the Year.
For sure.
We don't have the budget for an actual banquet. Okay, right. But we were talking about
we
want to have the Dudes Rock banquet.
Mm-hmm.
We've invited a lot of guys.
That's the four built tough kind of player of the year.
Right.
Kind of is a
We want to have a Dudes Rock banquet.
We have a Dudes Rock section at that banquet next year.
Matt Stepp, who would get your pick for the Dudes Rock Dude of the Year?
Honorable mention, Boosie Washington from Longview. Mm-hmm. What he did, unbelievable. But I'm going to go Wyatt Davis, linebacker, Canadian. Was the defensive player of the year last year, was having an unbelievable year this year, and started to have some health, unexplained health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Gets diagnosed with MS, same disease that's afflicting Coach Harrell, gets diagnosed with MS in the middle of the season, and you're thinking his career is over. That dude comes back 2 weeks later and has like 26 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Just the perseverance and the I talked to him after their playoff win against Muleshoe. What a positive example, and the attitude that that kid has. He's a bigger man than I'll ever be.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
To deal with that and to be there for his team and it's to see a child do mm-hmm. that is unbelievable to go through. He's going through so yeah, Wyatt Davis for me, a Canadian, unbelievable.
Okay, well, thanks, dude. Sorry. Like I like now I'm gonna pick like a really good like a football player for football player reasons.
Wyatt Davis is
and
a great
also
football player.
Is a great football yeah, yeah, player yeah. too. Yeah, and now I'm gonna look like a real. You jerk. Thanks, man. You're hanging me out to dry because I'm
sorry.
Like, my dude's rock duty.
You should have let me go. You should have
yeah,
went first.
Yeah, my dude's rock duty of the year is Cartier Collier.
I mean, look, Cartier Collier. Unbelievable.
He was really good.
13-1. I mean, we talked about Cartier Collier all year. Unbelievable. He was the 4A player, player of the year. So well deserved.
Yes, Cartier Collier. Sorry, is my dude's rock dude of the year. All right, moving on quickly. Who's your surprise team of the year?
We talked about them, the Saginaw Rough Riders.
Yes.
To go 11-1, unbelievable.
I think that's an excellent pick. I'm going to go a little bit off the board, and this is really only because of... Well, no, it's not only because of this, but it's there's a couple reasons. The Joaquin Rams.
Okay.
Okay? A state semifinalist, mm-hmm. okay? At they finished 10-5. Remember, they go in the playoffs... At
6-4.
At 6-4.
Fourth place.
Okay. Fourth place.
Mm-hmm.
With a first-year head coach mm-hmm. in Jared Jones.
Yeah.
Okay? And they have got first-round cannon fodder written all over. They've got like, okay, because honestly, if you're Joaquin, and because last year, I got this here. In 2024,
they
were 2-7.
Yeah, they missed the playoffs.
He takes over a 2-7 team. And if they had gone 6-5 and they lose in the first round of the playoffs, look up who they played in the first round of the playoffs.
This year?
Yeah.
Was it Centerville?
Centerville? Okay. If they lose to Centerville in the first round of the playoffs and they finish 6-5, around Joaquin, what they're saying is like, hey, you know what? Arrow's pointing up.
Got it back in the playoffs.
Coach Jones is turning the ship around. It was never going to be a 1-year fix. Instead, they go to the state semifinals and go 10-5.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that is absolutely the surprise of the year. I think that what Joaquin was able to do is beyond belief. Okay. All right. Now it's time for your bold prediction of the year. This is something you got right. This is something mm-hmm, that you mm-hmm. put on wax that you're very proud of that hit.
Well, my number one hipster came through was West Mesquite. Mm-hmm. I looked really smart there.
You
but
did.
I'm going to go I picked the 2A Division 1 state championship on the nose preseason.
You did.
Ganado over Stanford. And Stanford in the preseason was a little bit of a surprise pick because they were going to be good, but I don't think anyone expected them to be that good. But I got some inside information preseason that said Stanford was going to be a title contender, and so made me look really smart there. So I got that one right on the money.
Okay. I got to go back in the time machine in this one.
Okay.
My bold prediction of the year is actually a bold prediction of the last 3 years.
Okay.
I was I want credit for this. I was an extremely early adopter of the Armando Luon's going to be the all-time career passing
leader. You were.
Okay.
Acknowledging.
Like after his sophomore year.
Okay.
After his sophomore year, I was like, guys, look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. Look what he's doing. Like, I was an early adopter.
You were?
And I even saw Armando Luon at the Bill Fortuff Player of the Year banquet. Mm-hmm.
Did you get your picture with him?
With his dad was like, you were the first one.
Yeah.
You were the first one. And so I am going to claim a little bit of credit.
You should.
Was like, I was an early adopter
of
Armando Luon. All right.
Credit.
Now it's time for the what an idiot prediction of the year.
Okay.
Something that we swung and missed on. What was one that you...
My preseason 5A Division II state championship prediction was Huntsville over Corpus Christi Miller. And Huntsville got hammered by South Oak Cliff in the second... Mm-hmm. I just got too cute there. I got too cute and I got bopped all the way over there. Corpus Christi Miller got to the regional final. But lost. I was big on Huntsville. And Huntsville, they don't lose to PNG. They maybe get to the regional final also, but yeah, they lost South Oak Cliff in the area around the playoffs in a, like, 38-7. So, mm-hmm. yeah, Huntsville over Corpus Christi Miller preseason 582 pick was a little bit off.
So, look, there's a couple of different ways that I could go with this. One of them, so I think, and I'm never going to live this down, is that I picked North Crowley to win the 6A Division I state championship before the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And then you didn't.
And then when the game arrived against Westlake, I picked mm-hmm. Westlake to win it.
Did you end up in Greg Gates' pregame speech?
They played my picks video in the mm-hmm. in the locker room.
Shout out, Coach Gates.
So I'll probably that's probably the answer. The other one, and I got too cute with it. So Region 2 of 5A Division 2, PNG South Oak Cliff. Mm. I picked Texas High.
I mean, it wasn't a bad pick. Wasn't a bad pick. They spit exactly. the bit against PNG.
Anyway. So, but it's probably hopping off the North Crowley bandwagon. I'm telling you, I just like mm-hmm. Watching Westlake did to North Shore. Mm-hmm. It's just like mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just me. That's probably the one I'm gonna wear the West. All right, and finally, the disrespect season team of the year. Who is the team that made us look the dumbest? Mm. The team that maybe we, like, because we always hear this. It's the team that, yeah. that, like.
I mean, it could be Joaquin.
Yeah, it could be Joaquin.
Picked them fourth.
Did pick them fourth.
But they finished fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they got in a playoff run. We actually picked Joaquin fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you weren't really off on fourth, fifth. They made the playoff run. I'll go with Lavernia just because they were chirping at me during the playoffs.
They were chirping.
Yeah, their softball coach decided to, you know, chirp at me a little bit. That's fine. Look at Lavernia. Give the Bears. They had a great run all the way to the regional final mm-hmm. before they lost. Actually, the state semifinal. They beat Bay City. They upset. They pulled off a couple of upsets, including Bay City in the regional final.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to Kilgore in the semifinals, but a great run for the Bears to get to the state semifinal. So I'll go Lavernia because I didn't give them enough credit early on in the playoffs.
I think that's probably right. Let's see. Who won Region 3 of 4A Division 2?
La Vega.
La Vega may have the case. La Vega may be the disrespect season. Because mm-hmm. if you remember when they won their state semifinal, I got a text from Don
Hyde. Chirp at you a little bit?
He texted me and he said,
Don Hyde, I'll chirp at you.
He said, nice pick.
Yeah.
So I think La Vega is my disrespect season.
Two guys who will chirp at Greg Tepper, John King and Don Hyde.
They will absolutely, they both have my number.
I wouldn't mind having a podcast of John King and Don Hyde, just letting them rip. That'd be fun.
Yes. Yeah. Not enough brown liquor in the world, man. okay. I think that's about it. Let's go over to V&A Moreno and see what she wrote down, if anything.
I did write down a couple things.
Okay.
Let's talk cheese steaks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Coach Caduti, we need to talk cheese steaks. I want to interview Caduti, and we're gonna break down the perfect cheese steak.
A Nick Caduti cheese steak breakdown.
Yes.
Hutto equals hippos times two.
That is gonna drive me. So
I don't like it personally.
I mean, I presume that like there. When they play, it's going to be the Hippo Bowl. Like it has to
gotta be.
Be.
Well, New Braunfels, New Braunfels is the Unicorns.
Correct.
So when they opened their second high school, they were talking about making the second high school the Unicorns. Instead, they went with Dragons. So another mythical beast.
Yeah.
So my thought, Hutto, second high school, the Rhinos.
I love that.
Hippos,
there's
the Rhinos.
There's not a rhino in Texas.
Miss wow. Netherland, call me.
You're an idea man.
Thank you.
You got anything else, V?
Patrick Mahomes will leave.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Is Patrick Mahomes going to be the next, where was it?
Honeygrove.
Honeygrove.
Patrick, I should tweet out, Patrick Mahomes, Honeygrove, ?
Yeah, exactly right. If Patrick Mahomes is the next head coach at Honeygrove, you heard it here first on Tep and Step.
All right.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's mm-hmm. Texas football subscriber. Thanks, V&A.
Thank you. We'll see you in February.
Thanks, Step.
Thank you.
We'll see you in February on Tep and Step.
A lot of thank yous.
Bye.
I'm thankful. Bye.